This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Devotions. This is Chris Witz. It's really a great opportunity to share a few minutes with you today. Now, what do you think of the word when I say almost? For example, I almost missed the train, or I almost caught the flu this season. It's the sort of thing we say all the time. But do you know, it's also a word, this word almost, that talks about some opportunities that have been missed or fumbled chances. I wonder if you've heard of Tim McKee. He was edged out of first place back in the 1972 Olympic 400-metre race. Now, he didn't get the first place. You know why? He was edged out by 2/1000th of a second. It's just unbelievable to even imagine that you could lose by that much, 2/1000th of a second. So can you imagine how he felt? He almost won a gold medal there back in 1972 at the Olympic Games. So instead, he won a silver medal, which is not too bad, but he missed out. He almost won it. The Christian teacher and author Max Lucado, he gives us some sad statements that revolve around this word almost. He says in one of his books, he almost got it together. We were almost able to work it out. Simple statements, aren't they? But actually they have a lot of regret in those words, almost. And I'm thinking just now of what happened in Matthew 19 in the New Testament. It's a story of a conversation that Jesus had one day with a young man that's known as a rich young ruler. Now, he certainly was an impressive kind of guy. He'd been highly respected by many other people, and he was an important person because we read about him in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He was a young man, plenty of money, plenty of potential, young, and he was a ruler, which meant he was someone quite important. And Mark, in the story that he gives, tells us how he ran up to Jesus one day and actually knelt before him. Now, to kneel before someone, you don't see that every day, do you? But it was a great sign of respect and admiration. He was a man who meant business. And the conversation was this. Teacher, he said, what good things must I do to get eternal life? You can read that in Matthew 19, verse 16. It's interesting to see here this Greek word, eternal life, which actually means joy, fulfillment, and peace with God. So he was saying, what have I got to do to gain life and eternal life? He certainly wanted what I guess everybody wants, an abundant life on earth, happiness in the next life. And here was a man who had plenty of riches and status, but there was something wrong, something that he lacked, and he wanted to know about real life. And as we read the story, Jesus responds to the young man by asking a very strange question. And I'm looking at verse 17, and the question is, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. Now, Jesus was really saying that day, do you really have a clue as to who I am? And in the Living Bible, this question becomes a statement, when you call me good, you are calling me God. So what was happening here? Something very clever. Jesus was gently probing to see if there was within that young man a smidgen of faith. Was there the kind of faith that he could actually transform the life of this young man? Well, in verse 21, it goes on, and Jesus actually gives a diagnosis and a prescription. If you want to be perfect, he said, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then he said, come and follow me. Jesus was saying to that man, that impressive young man, you are carrying a security blanket. You know why? You don't rely on God. You rely on that other thing more than me. God will not agree to co-champion you in your tournament of favourites. You've got a false god. You've got to get rid of it. It's got to be dethroned. And then you'll experience life in all its fullness. And then we read probably the saddest statement in all of Scripture. In verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So this young man had caught a glimpse of a magnificent way of life centred in God. And there was something about Jesus that was going to just transform his life. But he was this word almost. He just was almost there, but he couldn't give it up. He became an almost follower. And tomorrow I want to just continue that on a little bit further. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that the example of Jesus is there who took time, and we know that he can help. And Lord, we don't want to be almost people. We want to be people for you. Amen.